You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
Dave Hodges is as mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore.
I'd like to help you, Doctor, if I really knew you would, but the din in my head, it's too much and it's no good. I'm standing in a window tunnel, shouting through the roar, and I'd like to give the information, asking for me what blood makes noise. It's ringing in my ear, blood makes noise, and I can't really hear you in the thickening of fear.
Common sense is not so common. This is the Common Sense Show with Dave Hodges.
It's the Constitution, stupid. That'll be the topic that we're going to delve into. And I think that'll be our overriding theme in the second hour. And we'll be joined by Daniel Brigman of Numana Foods. And we're going to be talking about the coming food shortages. You heard a lot on that from Cliff Harris and Eddie Petrowski a couple of weeks ago. And we're going to get into more detail tonight. And we're going to talk to you about some preparations. Don't forget, in the third hour, we're going to be joined by Shauna Cox, and we're going to get a play-by-play analysis of what happened from an eyewitness perspective. And then maybe some people who are seeing mirages on these videos will stop writing to me, giving me a version that's not even close to what's there. It's such a disturbing time in America. And then, of course, in the last segment of the show, we're going to be joined by Katie. And Katie has some interesting revelations of a very personal nature that tie directly into her role here on the Common Sense Show, and you're going to want to stay tuned for that as well. Well, it's kind of like, how do you put a closure on the last hour? The only thing I think I could say is this, is that Agenda 21 is now, you can't talk about Agenda 21 without talking about treason and without talking about subterfuge and the absolute sellout of the American people. And in this hour, we're going to be talking about one of the spin-off effects of the treason that you heard about, courtesy of our last guest. And now our present guest, Daniel Brigman, is going to pick it up right from there, and we're going to talk about that critical element that we can't live without, and that's food. Daniel, thanks for joining us.
Oh, my pleasure, Dave. Always, always a pleasure. Thank you.
Have you, you know, just your perspective here, I've been actively involved in trying to right these wrongs and using the media to do it. I've been actively involved in this now for going on 9 years. I'm not sure how long you've been involved in this, but have you ever seen a time such as this?
Boy, I tell you, I grew up in my family's home. My grandparents were very, I wouldn't say politically active, but they were very patriotic, very into what's going on. We always had discussions about, you know, current events, whatever. Probably in the last, I could say, definitely since I started in NANA, but 5 or so years, I've been pretty directly involved. And I would tend to agree with you. This is, you know, this idea of time speeding up, everything speeding up, everybody's agenda speeding up, everything is right before us, and it seems like it's all coming to a head. No question about it.
Yeah, we're all saying that. Doug Hagman said that to me. I was on his show last week, and I interviewed Steve Quayle a couple of weeks ago, and I thought he had one of the more profound sayings that I've heard. He said, and I quote, he said, "We're no longer writing about what's coming because what's coming is already here." And,
wow.
And this is what we're seeing right now. I think Steve nailed it right on the head. And we're seeing this right now. I mean, we're witnessing the execution of American citizens, and I say plural because it's not going to stop with Lavoy Finicum. We're seeing the execution of people for exercising their constitutional rights when they're unarmed and their hands are in the air. I got to calm down. Let me take a deep breath.
Calm down, Dave. Well, you know, it's interesting what you said, that concept that Steve Quayle told you about how it's right here. I can remember, I was lucky. My grandparents were, my grandmother in particular, was very different from most grandmothers. She introduced me to the book None Dare Call Conspiracy. She had, I can remember she had on the refrigerator, she had, under a magnet, was a picture of the UN takeover. This was like 25, 30 years ago. And she told me about the United Nations taking over the park. She told me about they're going to create death panels where they're going to vote whether you can live or die, you know, in the health care and all those things. She was telling me about these things 25, 30 years ago, right? And, you know, and I believed her, but now it's, I'm seeing it. I don't have to believe her anymore. It's right there. It's right now. It is happening as we speak. And this whole incident with the BLM, the Agenda 21, you know, in America, the principle that's at work here is a total overturn of the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, under one nation under God. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that we are endowed by our Creator, and that no longer does the government serve the people, but now the people are nothing more than serfs, are agents of the government, are subservient to the government, and an overarching agenda that is designed to take our talents, take our wealth, take our resources, and turn them into tools for a socialistic state.
You know, I think I've got selective amnesia, early onset Alzheimer's, because I should have brought this up at the beginning of the show, and I'm going to bring it up here right now. And I can almost promise you, Daniel, you probably have not heard about this, but there was an article that ran yesterday in the Arizona Republic, and I only get that darn thing to know what the enemy's up to. And that's our state daily. It's the largest newspaper in the state. And in Section B, what they call the Valley and State section, they ran an article in which there is a serious, and I mean deadly serious, federal proposal to create a buffer zone around the Grand Canyon. But get this, the buffer zone will be larger than the Grand Canyon itself. And what that means, I mean, they're just, maybe close the loop on this. What this means is it's again what we've been saying. What the Bundy affair is about, what the Hammond affair is about, it's about getting ranchers and farmers off their land so they can move us all into stacking packs.
Oh man. It's right before our face. It's
did
right
you know that? Did,
right
did you know that there's
no,
that serious proposal?
No. No. Oh, yeah. And I've been to the Grand Canyon and the majesty of it. And I mean, just thinking about that is it's criminal.
I mean, they would be bigger, I think, than probably Rhode Island and Delaware if they do that. I mean, it'll be like their own 51st state.
Yeah, I mean, for people who haven't been to the West much, I mean, I lived in Utah for a lot of years, went to Arizona a lot. I mean, the West is such a bigger, broader, grander scale. It's called the Grand Canyon for a reason. Than most of the East Coast. For people listening on the East Coast, I mean, we're talking, but Dave's not exaggerating. It probably is about the size of Rhode Island we're talking.
I just was stunned when I read this. And I thought, they can't do this. And I thought, yeah, and I said that when I first read about the UN being involved in our politics, about the biodiversity model of Agenda 21 and the complete control of food by the Obama administration through Executive Order 13603. Yeah, you know, those are famous last words. They can't do that, but they're going to do that unless we stop them.
Well, that, you know, I went to I met the Bundys at the Bundy Ranch. I was fortunate to be able to go there several times. The man was able to take donations down there. And that was really an amazing experience. One of the things that I learned that I did not know how deep the problem was. I knew the federal government owned land in the West. I knew they owned a lot of land. You know, I had that in my mind. In Nevada, the federal government owns 85% of the land.
Yeah, right.
87, or it's in the 80s, like 85, it's a lot. They own 85% of the land in Nevada. That's against the law. That's against the Constitution. It's they already have taken it over. It's crazy.
In Arizona, where I live, right next door, 90% of our land is controlled by the federal government. 90%.
Wow. Well, now I know why land costs so much. Now you know why a lot to build a house costs so much.
This is just so criminal. And first of all, the federal government does not have the right to come in and take land without the permission of the states. There's
well,
a little thing
well,
called the Tenth Amendment, am I right?
Well, the section, Article 1, Section 8, they're not even allowed to own land in these states unless they have to have a specific dedicated reason, like a fort, an armory, you know, and there has to be some larger purpose, not just, oh, we have a park and we're going to own it and control it now. Other than that, it stays with the state and stays with the people. Well, I mean, if the Constitution is law anymore, I mean, that's what it says.
What Constitution?
Yeah.
did I misplace something on the way to work today?
That's just sad.
You know, here, let me look under my seat. No, it's not there. And oh gosh, might have gone down the toilet. I mean, we don't have a Constitution, folks. That doesn't mean that we don't teach our children, because they need to know what's stolen from them. But we do not have a Constitution. I mean, if you had to sue somebody right now over land rights, would you have the confidence going into court that you would have a judge that would deal with you fairly?
No, not if it's involving the federal government dispute. Absolutely not. I wouldn't. I mean, look at the Bundys, look at the Hammonds, how ridiculous this. They're targeting productive people who are using the land for a private purpose. I mean, it's pretty obvious. Anybody with two eyes and half a brain can see that. It's obvious.
Well, I guess in one sense, it's tragic this is happening. On another sense, I mean, you know, one man's curse is another man's opportunity. And here you are standing, you know, as the watchman on the wall, ready to help people. And let me set the track here, and we'll certainly continue this into the next segment. But as I see it here, the Baltic Dry Index, as I mentioned last hour, the best measure, in my opinion, of how global commerce is flowing or not flowing, is plummeting each day to a brand new low. And we have just-in-time deliveries that supply our grocery stores, Walmarts, Kmarts, and all the other Chinese slave marts in this country. And that could come to a screeching halt. Let me have you weigh in on this, because I think you see where I'm going with this with food.
Absolutely. Well, have you heard the saying, the thousand-mile salad?
Yes.
The thousand-mile salad. Yes, in America, we don't have the local salad anymore. Your salad, chances are that it took about 1,000 miles of delivery to get your salad that you have now. And it's, like you said, just-in-time shipping. Our dependence on shipping, on foreign countries, on foreign delivery is really an all-time high in relation to our food. We are a net importer of food now, where we used to be, you know, for centuries, a net exporter of food. We are now a net importer of food. That is a very dangerous and telling sea change in America, just that stat. Now when you combine it with the engine of commerce around the globe, you said it so perfectly, the indicator of the engine of commerce, and you see these new lows, and you see a grind to a halt, and you see the stagnation of all these things, you can't help be concerned, to be startled. And we're not talking about people on the common, listen to the Common Sense Show, who's aware. You're talking about the average person who listens to mainstream media right now is now taking notes and be like, oh, wait a minute. If there's no ships going across the ocean with goods back and forth, that's got to be bad, right? Yes, that's got to be bad. Yes, thank you. You're starting to see the picture. Yes, that's bad. Your thousand-mile salad, there might be a problem here, sir. Yes. It's a big issue.
But it's not just that. It's the staples of life. People are not food resourceful today in large numbers. In fact, I'm sure you're aware of that FEMA study that said basically that, how they put it, the average American family does not have 72 hours worth of supplies. Do you remember that?
Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm.
And that's kind of where we're at today. And what we're going to try to do tonight, and this is to our listening audience, we're going to set the table for the problem, and then we're also going to clear the table with solutions, and then how effective our solutions will be that we offer to you tonight. Well, that's going to kind of be up to you if you're going to take advice. But real quickly, we've got about 30 seconds to the break, Daniel. Just one parting comment here into the commercial. If people don't take action now, what's going to happen to them?
Well, they're going to continue to slide in a cascade of dependence. If you can't look outside your window and say, hey, maybe I need to adopt some of my forefathers' instincts of self-reliance and self-sufficiency, then I don't know what to tell you. Now is the time to take action. And in taking action, there's power, safety, And there's such a good feeling when doing it. So that's what we're all about.
Very well said. We're going to step aside for a quick break. And we come back, we'll rejoin Daniel on the other side.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency-use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally, these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com, you can get one of these origami-style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
Yeah, what a great offer that is, and I would encourage everybody to take advantage of that. Can you beat the price? I mean, just, if you had it for nothing but a conversation piece, you cannot beat the price. Well, speaking of not being able to beat the price, as we unfold the scenarios that are really rapidly upon our heads now, no longer coming, as Steve says, but right here, you need to transfer your cash. You need to transfer them into survival supplies. You need to transfer the majority of your cash into precious metals. Because when the smoke clears, and the smoke will clear one day, you want to have something that you can use as a medium of exchange besides simple barter or brute force. You know, that doesn't end well. So what am I talking about? I'm talking about calling Steve Quayle tomorrow. One, he'll consult with you. Two, he'll tell you if he can't help you. Three, he'll devise a plan for you that will fit your budget and won't put you in dire straits. And this is the time to buy, because gold and silver are flat, and they are going to make a rapid comeback as the economy continues to slide, because that's where the elite are running to. How do you get a hold of Steve? Call him tomorrow at 406-586-4842. Again, Steve's number, 406-586-4842. Well, we're joined by Daniel Brigman of Numana Foods, and he has such great products, and we're going to get into some of those a little later in the show. But Daniel, I just don't see any way that we're not going to get out of this without a stoppage, almost a complete stoppage of goods, and that includes food. In fact, let me run this by you. I want to start with this question. Cliff Harris, and I don't know if you're familiar with Cliff, a Kansas farmer named Eddie Petrowski were on my show 2 weeks ago, and they said two things. One, that 15% of the farmers and ranchers are leaving the business this year, and then they came back and reported to me by email a week later and said that seed sales this year are down by about that same amount, 15%, which seemed to coincide with their statement. What do you know about this?
Well, that's something that we've been, there's a couple pressures there. Cliff Harris has a lot to do. He talks about the weather, all the weather changes, the food shortages, and two, just the simple statistics of farmers and farmers being obliterated. You've already talked about ranchers. The Bundys are a perfect example. Ranchers being run out of business, being regulated out of business. Now, farmers, the same thing is happening to our ability to feed ourselves as a country has been undermined. It's like one leg has been kicked out of the table. There's only three legs standing, and so it's very unstable. This is not exaggeration. This is the reality of where we are right now. No question, this is a factor and something that that we've looked at. It's one of the reasons we got into food storage, but just as we've been in the business, all these things have come to a head. Everything that we feared and the reasons that we started Numana, my family and I, every day they just become more and more obvious. I don't know what to say. Cliff is 100% right, and it's something we're very concerned about and watching closely.
Well, the average person is sitting there listening and go, okay, we've heard wolf cried before, bad days are coming. Well, folks, aren't we right? Aren't bad days here? Isn't $1.5 quadrillion of credit swap derivatives debt enough with a $504 trillion annual interest rate? along with a $19 trillion deficit, along with a $240 trillion Social Security, Medicare, or Medicaid, unfunded but mandated liabilities that we owe to the elderly in this country. Isn't that enough? Isn't that here? Well, okay, let's go back to Daniel. Daniel, well, we've pretty well predicted what's coming, haven't we?
Well, there's no question. Shows like yourself, you've been very much on top of seeing the trends. This, I mean, this is not really, this is not rocket science. And what Dave has done is present in a very systematic way all the shows to the person who cries wolf. And I've met many people that have tried to confront me on some of these things I said. And I am not an alarmist by any means. I am a preparist. That's what I am. I ask them, have you done grocery shopping over the last couple of years? I just ask them simply, and they'll say yes or no. If they say no, well, I can't talk to them anymore. If they say yes, I says, what has happened to the price of bread, to the price of meat, to the price of basic staples that almost every family depends on? And they'll say, wow, it's really gone up. I go, yeah, it has, hasn't it? Maybe all these things are true. And they just, and that's it. That's the end of the discussion. Well, everything you said, the bottom line is that loaf of bread that used to cost a dollar. I remember three or four years ago, a loaf of bread was a dollar at Walmart. Yeah, gone are those days. A thing of juice was a dollar. Now it's $2.50. All these basic things, chopped meat, all these things have gone through the roof very quickly.
Well, you know, the other thing they're doing to disguise the price rises is they are lowering the portion sizes. Have you noticed that?
Oh, absolutely. You know, the bag of chips, golly, you eat three or four chips and the bag's about gone. Yeah, it's kind of annoying.
I can't confess to eating chips because our health reporter, Katie, will get all over my case. So I can neither confirm nor deny my participation in that endeavor. I can hear Katie thinking right now, well, I'm going to get him when I get the chance.
Well, the blue corn.
And she does.
The blue corn organic. Yeah.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. Yes. They glow in the dark and they're good for you. And, yeah, right. Yes. Oh, there's a joke there, but this is family radio, so we're going to move on. But anyway.
Well, I don't okay. think, you know, I focusing on all these things, I mean, your audience, I don't know if you got to convince them. Your audience knows this, and I don't think you got to beat them over the head about it. We know there's what's the solution? You know, we at Numana, we've worked really hard to develop some solutions. On your show, when I've listened to your show, you have solutions all the time. And being solution-oriented, proactive, doing something, any step that you and your family can take, I can't tell you how empowering it is when you take some of these steps. All these doubts and all these things that seem to be pressing on you, when you go forward and take an action, a positive step for your self-sufficiency, for your family, that nobody else can stop and nobody else can control, you just took back some of your power. And you just took back some of the control to your life so that your family can be self-sufficient. Any step you take. And that's really what our Numana is all about. That's really what we preach and what our food is designed for.
Well, let's talk a little bit about what you offer. I mean, people are going to go, oh, it's food out of the can. Oh, God. Maybe that's good for a couple days, but not after that. Let's talk about that.
Well, when we started the company, it was 4+ years ago, almost 5 years ago, my family and I, we tasted pretty much everything that was out there. And there's, you know, a good many companies that were out there, big companies. And frankly, we were disappointed. We felt kind of had a similar reaction to what you just said. Oh, okay. If I was starving, I'd eat it, but other than that. We wanted to change the dynamic what storable food meant. We wanted to make storable food that was quality enough and tasty enough that my children would ask for it tomorrow for lunch, or 20 years from now, 10 years from now, 5 years from now, I could pull it out and have confidence in it that I'm going to have a good quality food in an emergency. And that's really our goal, our mission, and we feel like we've nailed it. We have high-quality food that my children will ask for by name. It's easy to fix. Just add water. The meals come in buckets, and each bucket has a variety of different recipes and different types, things like pasta primavera and sweet habanero chili, black bean soup, pasta Alfredo, potato casserole, potato cheese soup, cheese and broccoli soup. These are meals that you're used to eating now or that you would like to eat now. So they're all in Mylar bags, individual resealable Mylar bags. You just eat part of it and then reseal it. Very easy to use. If you can boil water, then you can fix these meals. So in about 15, 20 minutes of boiling, you have a high-quality meal that actually tastes good. It's GMO-free. It's no high-fructose corn syrup, no aspartame, no added MSG. It's soy-free, and it's very convenient and very simple to use, lasts well, and your family will be very good with it in no matter what the situation was.
What's the preparation burden? I mean, what do you have to go through?
Okay, I'm hungry, or the lights went out, or whatever the situation. I go into my bucket. I choose maybe pasta primavera, for instance. It comes in a 6-serving Mylar bag. I decide, well, do I want 6 servings, or maybe I want a couple servings, whatever. I rip the top off. I pour that much in the water and follow the instructions. I boil water. It'll tell you how much. As soon as it's boiling, pour the food in. Stir it a few times, 15, 20 minutes, you're done.
That's pretty good. Now, do you have a product, too? I believe it's called the grab-and-go bucket that you can grab and go and take it with you, and it's ready-made stuff that you can take on the run. How many meals come with that?
Yes, it's 76 one-cup servings in that bucket. Easy square bucket, lid, handle. Your young teenager, young child could carry it. You had to go anywhere, so it's flexible enough. You can take the packs out or take the bucket if you need to carry it. Very simple to use, simple to deal with. And these same high-quality meals that are easy to fix and taste good. Very convenient.
We're going to be going to break here in a minute, so if we get cut off in mid-question here or mid-answer, we can continue this on the other side. But how much food would you recommend each American have in storage?
Well, you brought up FEMA earlier, and for all that we criticize FEMA, FEMA does... there is a lot of good information they're putting out. One of the things that they recommended recently was that every business have a 90-day plan. So if you don't have any preparations, everybody should get, don't think 72 hours, think 1 week. Think 1 week for your family. Once you think 1 week, then think 1 month. Once you think 1 month, think 90 days. I would like to see everybody with at least a 90-day plan. Some people are much more and much more extensive. We have about a year in our family, probably a little more. That's why I feel comfortable. It's a no-lose situation preparing, because one, you can freeze your food prices, and then you're just prepared if something happens. You can't lose. How can you lose? You got good quality food. The value in food is always going to go up and always going to be there. You can't lose. I start with 1 week, 1 month, 90 days, and then a year. That's how I do it.
So you plan incrementally. You don't have to go out and break the bank all at once. But, I keep telling people, though, if you have cash in the bank, you're going to rue the day when you didn't get that cash out of the bank while you still can. And you can't just walk up to the window now and take it because of all the federal laws that prevent that. We're going to start there when we come back. More with Daniel Brigman on the other side of these messages.
All right, for this week's Ranger Gear Review, did you know that hackers and government agencies can scan your RFID personal identity details through the air invisibly using an RFID scanner that reads the chips that are increasingly on driver's licenses, passports, and credit cards? Merely by walking near an RFID scanner, which may be hidden, by the way, you can have your personal identity details stolen without your knowledge or consent. My name is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and I launched Ranger Gear to be able to offer solutions for problems just like this. We came up with RFID blocking sleeves that interfere with RFID scanning attempts and block them so that no one can steal information off your credit cards, driver's licenses, or passports. You just slip any credit card or passport into one of these sleeves, and it immediately blocks the RFID scanning. It can't get through it. It's like a bulletproof vest against RFID signals. These RFID blocking sleeves are infinitely reusable, they're durable, they're portable, lightweight, almost weigh nothing, and you have to use them now when you travel to protect your identity and your personal security as well. We've got them on sale now, a pack of 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. All of them block RFID 100%. They're available now 10% off by using discount code DAVE at rangergear.com. Again, just use coupon code DAVE at rangergear.com and you'll save 10% off this RFID blocking sleeve pack, which contains 10 credit card sleeves and 2 passport protectors. I really can't emphasize this enough. Anywhere that you travel right now, if you have these RFID chips embedded in your cards or passports, you are being scanned and tracked without your knowledge. But you can block that using these RFID blocking sleeves right now. Rangergear.com, use discount code DAVE to save 10% today.
Yeah, I said earlier my endorsement of this product, and I told you about a friend of mine that had been victimized by people who steal our stuff from afar, like when we're pumping gas or whatever. I'd really encourage you to follow up on Mike's generous offer using my name as the code, rangergear.com. Go there, check it out. You cannot beat the price. And of course, you got that unfolding credit card knife. Wow. You can even get that on through, well, I guess you can get anything by TSA except us. So anyway, folks, rangergear.com. Also, I want to let everybody know we're coming out with a brand new website. Oh, you don't have to change anything. It's going to be thecommonsenseshow.com. And as some of you know, our listen live button, somebody somewhere, them our people did something to it. We may have that up again right now. I know that our webmaster, Daniel Clausen, was working on that. But certainly next week, but we will have our new website out with new improved streamlined archives, streamlined listen live button. We're going to have a whole plethora of articles that we're going to bring out and really become a news site, not just going to be Dave Hodges writing articles, although I will continue to write as the spirit and the political climate moves me to write. But still be thecommonsenseshow.com. And, of course, we also had problems, you know, with our newsletter. And if you think all these things are coincidence, folks, think again. Just remember the shutdown of this show on January the 10th. But the newsletter's up and running. And if you had signed up previously, I know you're getting yours now. We hope you enjoy the convenience of having our stories delivered right to your email box every morning. And we would encourage you, if you have not signed up for our newsletter, go to thecommonsenseshow.com. It will carry over to the new website, and the launch is somewhere between about 7 to 14 days away. I'm so excited, and we're going to be able to reach a whole lot more people in a lot more attractive and an efficient manner. Well, speaking about attractive and efficient, we're talking about someone who makes his product services available, and they're efficient, and if you're hungry, they're definitely going to be attractive. But Daniel, let's talk about some other things that could bring us to the brink of, I got nothing to eat, and I'm in big trouble, and I wished I would have listened to Daniel and Dave on that show that one night. What do you think is going to happen that's going to bring this country to its knees? Let's go through some possible scenarios.
Well, the first thing you just mentioned, this right in your face, this Baltic Dry Index, the slowing down of industry, combined with the our ranching farming infrastructure really starting to break. We are not producing enough food. We're seeing weather patterns all over that's causing shortages, cost increases. The price and cost to get food to your table has been going up. That is the first threat to each and every family, is the cost of living that food presents to them. So no matter what, you need to address the idea that I need to freeze my food prices or fight inflation or fight this turn. That's the very first thing that's right in everybody's face. You know, from there, you're talking about, you know, weather-related that makes it even worse. You know, what if crop failures? You're talking about, war, we don't get the shipping across that we need to. All these things to lead to an instability in our commerce, instability in your food supply, and ultimately instability right there at your home. That's ultimately what we're talking about.
Well, how did we get to that point? I mean, you said prepare 3 days a week, 3 months and so forth. But it's not just food we need to worry about, too. I mean, when we talk about ship products, you know, one thing people don't think about, Daniel, and that's toilet paper.
Well, Nazi Germany, toilet paper is a very valuable commodity. It's very valuable, and had a very, very high trade value, actually. So, you know, all these things, you need, as a family, you need to look at history. You know, I think maybe this is more of your what you want in your question. You need to look at history and see the things that have affected us directly recently and then historically. We've seen hurricanes, Hurricane Sandy in the New York area, where people were without power for a month. We have seen situations where tornadoes in the Midwest. We've seen the Great Depression in within a lifetime. Your grandparents, great-grandparents can tell you about what was life like during the Great Depression. My grandfather, there were days when all he had to eat was an uncooked potato. I am not exaggerating. That is the honest-to-God truth out of his mouth. All he had to eat some days was a cooked potato. Some days he couldn't go to school because they were so poor he couldn't afford pants for him. That is a true story that my grandfather went through. All these things are things you need to not think negatively, but just think of how would I deal with those? How would I overcome these type of situations if everything happened? Start with 1 week. If for 1 week I could not leave my doors for whatever reason, what would I need? You just mentioned toilet paper, you know, obviously food and water. That's a big part of that equation. All these basic necessities. Start with 1 week and then build out there from there. Now go to 1 month for your family, then 90 days, and then a year. I'm a big, big advocate of progressing like that and taking these steps in those directions.
What about guns?
Well, I'm not going to advocate people start shooting people, but there's no way you can't be. I mean, American is apple pie, mom apple pie, and guns. Isn't that America? I mean, the whole Revolutionary War was started over guns. The British, their desire to take people's guns. A gun can be used to hunt. It can be used for protection. I carry guns. I'm a big proponent of guns. We have guns in my house. I've been in two situations in my life where I've had to have the gun, and I've had to have it, you know, ready to use, or I felt like I need to have it ready to use. Two times in my life. Both times in my life when I had that, I was shocked how calm I was because I had that gun. I was shocked about how completely in control and calm and safe that I felt because I had the protection. No matter what, I knew that I could protect myself no matter the threat that was coming to me. It was really an eye-opening experience. And that goes directly back to food and all these other, all these things we're talking about. The power that you have when you're not in need. This idea of need, I need something. The idea of needing something just puts you in such an uneasy situation. You know, I go back to my grandfather. I just told you a story. And this already happened in America. So it's not like we're telling, making up stories or, you know, I'm not trying to scare you. I'm just trying to get you to see reality. Not only did my grandfather, they were so poor that some days all he had to eat was a cooked potato. I forgot to mention, they were so poor. There were three kids. His father died because he got gassed in World War I. They were so destitute, they had to ship the youngest daughter away to relatives in another town because they didn't have the food to feed her. They thought she was going to starve. I mean, that's how bad things were in America. So, historically, all these situations you need to look at and talk about your family. And then once you're prepared, just like me having this gun, you feel such an empowerment. And I don't mean an arrogant, cocky, in-your-face kind of way. I mean, you just feel calm. You feel safe. You feel prepared. You're ready. Your family is taken care of. You've been able to provide a way for them. And everybody needs to look at least a week, even that week. You know, some emergency to give yourself a week's worth of preparation is invaluable. A month, even more so. And that you may be able to help people if it's a short disaster. In 90 days, a year. It is a no-lose situation, because all these things that you will use to prepare with will always have value. You could go out right now and buy $200 worth of toilet paper, and I just about guarantee you in 5 years, one, that toilet paper will still have value, and two, it'll cost more than it does today. And the same thing with this food, the same thing with guns, the same things, all these preparedness items. Well, you cannot lose. The only thing that seems to lose value nowadays is your money sitting in the bank. That's what I see.
Yeah, boy, amen to that. Well, should I make a true confession here? I'm thinking.
Please do.
Yeah, I'm committed to the act of nonviolence, except when it comes to protecting my family. I live out in rural Arizona, where, first of all, when you call the police for help and you have an intruder, they'll get there in time to draw chalk around your cold, dead body. And especially out where I live, the response time could be 30 minutes or longer. So you're on your own. Well, last night, I've got two older dogs. They don't get excited about too much anymore. But they were absolutely going crazy on the side fence out by where the cars are parked. And they wouldn't let up. And this is so uncharacteristic of them. And we haven't seen this behavior in them probably for 3 or 4 years when they were much younger. So I heard the noises outside and so forth. I thought, okay, well, you know, it's time to check this out. And what do you have to do? You don't walk out there with a baseball bat or a golf club. You walk out there with your 357, and that's what it's one of the guns I have. And I walked out there, one clip in, safety off, one clip in the pocket, and I was good to go. And I will tell you that I certainly did the yelling out the side door first. I'm coming, I'm armed, and you better vacate right now. And I went out, and whoever was out there doing what they were doing, vacated. Now, we've had our car broken into, and we've had people who come up from this river valley that live about 5 miles from us, and they're meth dealers and so forth and so on. So that's who I thought I might be dealing with, and hence the reason for the firearm. But I'm trained, and I'll tell you, people, you need to get trained. If you're going to have a firearm be part of your self-protection package, you better have gone through some training. Now, here locally, I went through the Ben Avery training range with an old friend of mine, Don Klein, and we got trained together. And the old instincts they creep in. Daniel, I'll tell you, I was in the crouch. I moved from cover to cover. I moved in a circular fashion. I mean, and I haven't trained in probably 15 years. But I'll tell you, when you feel your life could be on the line and you know something is wrong, and there was something definitely wrong last night, excuse me, your instincts take over. And any training you've had will come right to the forefront.
Well, it gets, you know, in America, you hit on something that just came to my mind. We've had it so good for so long, and we haven't seen a lot of these things. You know, we've seen sparse disasters here and there. But you don't know what you'll need, or you don't know what it's going to take, or you don't know what that situation is until you're there. So you either have to learn from history, or you just have to just go along with the flow and just take whatever comes whenever you get there. I mean, that's really what you're faced with, right? I'm either going to ignore all this and I'm just going to live my life and not worry about it, or I'm going to learn from the lessons of history. One of the two. I'm going to learn from lessons of history of people who've been there.
Absolutely. Daniel, hold that thought right there. We got to step aside, and we're going to come back for our final segment. Sorry to cut you off. We'll be back in about 1 minute. Stay tuned.
For this week's Ranger Gear Review, we are literally giving away folding credit card knives for one penny each. This is Mike Adams, the Health Ranger, and to take advantage of this offer, just go to freefoldingknife.com. That's freefoldingknife.com, and you'll get this folding credit card knife for just one penny. This isn't some gimmick. This is a real emergency-use folding credit card knife with a steel blade, very, very sharp, 65 millimeters in length on the blade, but it folds down like origami to the shape and size of a credit card. This makes it incredibly easy to carry in a pocket or a purse or the glove box of your car and have it ready for emergency use. Normally, these are sold for anywhere from $5 to $10, but right now at freefoldingknife.com, you can get one of these origami-style folding credit card knives for just a penny. Limit one per order, please. So take advantage of it right now at freefoldingknife.com.
Well, I'll tell you, free folding knife, what a lot of fun that is. Daniel, let's go back to that story I told real quick. I got an email during the break. It says, Dave, I didn't figure you for a gunman. Well, you know, I am a committed Christian, and I am nonviolent, but when it comes to defending my family, we are given permission as Christians to defend, you know, ourselves and our families, and I take that very seriously. You know, let me just say this. Had they taken the car and drive off, I don't shoot. That's not worth it. But if they're trying to gain entry into part of the house that I thought they were going to try to gain entry into, which is really our one area of vulnerability I need to shore up, that becomes a whole different matter, because we had a situation out here a couple of years ago where my neighbor, who's catacorded to me, he had one of these meth addicts from that river valley I just mentioned come right through his plate glass window, just jumped right through it. And fortunately for him, he was standing not too far from his shotgun. And he picked it up, put the shotgun right on him, and says, "You get on the ground or you're a dead man." And they called the sheriff, and they described everything what was going on. 55 minutes later, the sheriff showed up. 55 minutes later. In fact, we had a situation, and Katie and I have talked about this. Annie DeRiso, when she was my news director, I was broadcasting from a different location inside the city of Phoenix at a home we own there, and I was interviewing Jim Mars. In the final 2 minutes of the show, 8 shots over the house. How long did it take the cops to respond? This is right in the middle of the city, 25 minutes. So I tell people, you know, you need to be prepared to defend yourself. You have to do what you have to do. Otherwise, you're going to become someone's victim. So we in this maze of situations here, of all the things that are going on, you've got the economy, you've got the potential for World War III, you've got the potential for flaming uprisings with ranchers and farmers across the country. We've been at the doorstep of race riots in this country. How do you see this all coming together to make people wish they were prepared?
Boy, that's a really tough question. That's a really, you know, there's a lot of speculation and a lot of, I think that the realization that people are going to come to is that life in America is not the same as it was X amount of years ago, 10 years ago, when I was a kid, when I was growing up, one of my grandparents. When people finally come to the realization that this corpse of a country that we call the United States of America, the Constitution that is literally hanging by thread, and by a bare thread as it is, the myth of, God and our rights and all these things, and the belief that we've held on to, when we finally see that all this is being threatened in a way that we really didn't see before, when that comes to them, that mass awakening, you will see people run to any kind of lifeline, and you'll see them desperate to turn their Federal Reserve notes in for something of value, that they'll wish and pray and beg God that they can have enough time to do something in their family so they can be prepared. And I'm not trying to be an alarmist. I am looking at the world, and I see a place, the America that I love, the country that I love, the freedoms I enjoy, all that we believe in that we talk about has been threatened. And our very way of life is threatened. And where it goes from here will be entirely up to you as an individual and as a family. So that's how I see it breaking down.
Daniel, do you think those threats stem from, is the base root cause us forsaking the Constitution and along with our Christian principles?
There's no question. There's freedom. Our founding fathers were obsessed with this idea of freedom. That, you know, that's why guns have such a prominent place in America. I mean, it's not just for, you know, show or toy. George Washington said nothing except the Constitution, except guns, barring the Constitution, nothing is as important to our freedom as guns are. They are liberty's teeth. They were obsessed with protecting this jewel of liberty, and they knew that the history, the tide of history and tyrants would come for it. They knew that this ethic and this moral that we grew up with, that God endowed us with certain rights, and that governments cannot take them away, but only mankind's connection to God can grant them. They knew that that would be challenged. And because now you see that, we're seeing now we're a victim society, we're a society that doesn't respect the endowment that God has placed upon us, we are lucky to even know, our children are lucky to even know what the Constitution is or even kind of recite the Bill of Rights at all. And unfortunately, I'm not exaggerating.
You know, one of the things they've done in Arizona, it's kind of interesting, out of the state legislature, is they have enacted a civics test that all high school students must pass to graduate. And at first I thought, boy, what a waste of resources and a duplication of curriculum. But as I look at it now and I look at the kinds of things that they're trying to pursue in terms of knowledge that they think that kids should know, I actually think it's a good idea. I mean, what is it? 55% of our youth can't name the vice president? You know, that's Joe, that guy who's biting off more than he can chew. Our wonderful VP who couldn't put two intelligible words together, but he is our vice president, and they can't name that. They can't name the Speaker of the House. What is that, about less than a third of our kids can name the Speaker of the House? And this is when they're taking history and government and should be exposed to these things.
No, that's funny.
But they can sure tell you the latest games that are on their phones.
I am such a proponent of people getting out of public school system. I am on the wall screaming for people to take a look at exactly what you just said. The schools is not teaching the values that we value. It's just that simple. They're not teaching it. And what do you think they're teaching? Believe me, they're teaching a religion at school, but it's not the religion you think they are.
Well, there was a kid, and I can't remember the state now, and this was all over the net earlier last week, who was punished because he refused to recite an Islamic prayer in his class. Did you hear about that?
Yeah, no, I did not hear about that one, but I've heard about some pretty crazy things.
Yeah, and they... And there's one high school, Sierra, I think it's Sierra, in Carl Springs. 2 years ago, they had a principal who forbade the saying of the word Jesus during the school day. You could not say the word Jesus. I kid you not. And I know the area. I lived in Carl Springs for a couple of years, and it's in a fairly well-to-do area, not too far from the academy, and nice homes and good community, and they're putting up with this crap. I mean, to me, it was 10, 20 years ago, the parents would have been up there tearing down that school brick by brick over something like this, where you're actually forcing people to go against their belief systems or forcing them to embrace a religion that is foreign to them. Daniel, your feelings about this, and I know this comes across as very prejudicial. I'm for the First Amendment. I practice tolerance towards all religions as long as their religious rights start where my constitutional nose begins. But this is a country founded on Christian principles. Do you not agree with that?
Well, it's public law that the Bible is the Word of God. People don't know that. They go look at public law. It is public law in America that the Bible is the Word of God. People may not know that, but that's true. I'm extremely advocate of what you just said. Our founding documents are the charter of this country, the Declaration of Independence, is a Christian document. No matter what anybody, they can claim whatever they want, say whatever nonsense they want. They don't know what they're talking about. The Constitution, the Declaration of Independence, says that we are endowed by our Creator with unalienable rights. This is a Christian ethic, a moral ethic of something higher than ourselves, and it comes straight out of the Bible. No question.
Well, I'm glad to hear you say it, because most law schools would agree with you. In their first-year curriculum, they teach that the Ten Commandments are the fundamental foundation of our legal code. And yet, we've turned around and have forsaken this, and then we wonder why God has turned his back on this country. Of course, selling fetal body parts after these heinous abortions, these late-term abortions, I think might turn God off to us as well. But, I mean, how do we correct this? I mean, is there anything we can do from a social, moral point of view to reverse the negative course that we're on, where we're watching shows like Lucifer on TV?
I know, isn't that cool? Of course there are things we can do. You know, You can start right now and go look at what your children are learning and think about what you want to teach them and empower them and teach them what you want. You can prepare yourself so you can be self-sufficient, so no matter what happens in the economy, what happens, job loss, whatever, you can take care of yourself and your family. You can spread this message of self-sufficiency and self-worth, and you can be empowered to change your life. When you change your family's life, now your neighbor can do the same, and you will be because you will be an example to them. You have no idea the influence and power that you have over your neighbor, and the people look at you, and your children go along, and what you do matters. And under God in this country, we believe and we have fought and died that people can glorify their God by exercising their right. Where you saw the people in Oregon, you saw the Bundy Ranch, what went on. It is time that we stood up and took action, and in any manner whatsoever, in any way, towards this ideal and these ethics and these morals of our country, and learning them and teaching them and making them important to our children. Any action you take is a blow against what we're fighting against. And the world will evolve and the world will change in the instant on it.
Absolutely. Well, we're just about out of time, and I'm proud to announce that the Common Sense Show and Daniel's company, Numana Foods, have reached an agreement, and we're going to cross-promote, and we're really thrilled to be doing that. Daniel, very quickly, tell people how they can find your website and look at your fine product line.
Yes, it's numana.com, N-U-M-A-N-N-A, numana.com, and we're going to, as your new website comes up, there'll be a link from your site. They'll go have a special page for you, and we'll go at it that way, where people can get prepared.
Yeah, we're definitely looking forward to it. We're good to go. Look, I want to thank you for joining us, and we will be happy to have you back anytime you want to come on. You're a great constitutional scholar. Thanks so much for joining us.
Hey, God bless. Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
Okay. Thank you. Well, we're going to be joined, hopefully, God willing, in the third hour, we're going to be joined by Shawna Cox, and she's going to give her firsthand account of that horrible, unspeakable tragedy that took place between Burns, Oregon, and John Day, where they were ambushed. And when you see the video and you listen to the firsthand accounts, I'm happy to be American. I'm proud to be an American. But at the same time, when I look at the actions of these federal bushwhackers, I was ashamed to be an American. And that's the only way I can really accurately say it. Anyway, our thanks to Daniel Brigman and our first guest tonight, Paul Preston of Agenda 21 Radio. Wow, we're really blessed to have great guests, but we're going to have a person of courage on next. Stay tuned.